Well, good to see you this Wednesday. I hope you are having a good week. Tonight I'm going to be in Luke chapter 1, if you've got your Bible or your Bible on your device, however you may read the scripture. I'm going to have some of them on the screen. And tonight I want to talk about the Virgin Mary and share with you some lessons on birthing God's plans in your life. I'm doing devotionals through the month, through Christmas Day in December. Began on December the 1st on Sunday, and I've been in Luke chapter 1 on those devotionals, and I want to step into that here tonight. And I love this first chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and particularly the scriptures that we're going to read tonight, where Mary has an encounter with Gabriel the angel. A messenger was sent from God with a message for Mary, who was a young virgin girl. We don't know exactly how old Mary was, but she's certainly a younger woman. Some would say she was probably even a teenager. We don't know for sure. We do know that she had been espoused to be married. In other words, an announcement had been made, an engagement, so to speak, had been announced. And after that, she has an encounter with God. And we're going to read about that tonight. As a matter of fact, what I want to do is I want to read the scripture to you, and then we'll work through those scriptures, and I'll put the scriptures up there as we work through them. But I just want to read this word over you tonight. But try to slip into her sandals for a moment, what it must have been like living at that time in history as a young woman filled with the excitement of an upcoming wedding and having an angel of God appear in your room and share a download with you that's just in the natural impossible to believe. I mean, you would be labeled going out and telling folks that what God had told her. I mean, because it just doesn't happen in the natural. Here's how it reads. I'm going to begin with verse 26, and I'm going to read through verse 38. I'm reading in the New King James Version. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one! The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month of her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Now this is amazing, the next verse. "Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." What a fascinating passage of Scripture tonight. And I believe there are a number of parallels between Mary and the life you're living. Now, I'm not prophesying that you're going to have babies because you're overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. But what I am saying, we can mine out some truths here that are applicable to how we relate to God and how God relates to us. And I love that about the Scripture. It's not just a story relegated to a bygone age that we can read, scratch our head, and say, that must be wonderful. But it's the Word that is filled with the life of God, the power of God. And when we read what He did in someone else's life, the Holy Spirit begins to stir us and positions us to also receive similar blessings from the Lord. So the lessons we want to focus on are lessons that have to do with God birthing through us whatever His plan for us may be. For Mary, it was to bear His Son. For you, it's something different, but nevertheless something that God's planned for you. Something that God has for you. These are very practical, meat and potato type principles, but I believe they'll bless you tonight, so grab them as they come by and hang on to them, okay? Here's the first thing I want to share with you. God uses ordinary people in extraordinary ways. We are told here in verse 26 that the angel Gabriel was sent by God. Now, there's throne room activity taking place. Mary doesn't have a clue what's going on up there. Throne room activity taking place. Father communicates to the angel Gabriel, I'm sending you to Nazareth in Galilee, and here's the message to give to the young woman named Mary. And it's interesting, these angels, they never arrive at the wrong address. You know, they show up when they're supposed to. They deliver what they're supposed to, do what they're supposed to. The Lord doesn't have the trouble with them that He has with us. Now, I'm not saying that He didn't have a brouhaha with a bunch of them way back yonder. He did. But there was a division taking place. And He has holy angels that are compliant, perfectly obedient, and extremely powerful. Because whatever assignment they are given to go on, then they will have an accompanying empowerment to carry out that assignment. And not only does it work on that level in that sphere of the angels, but it works that same way with you. Whatever He calls you to do, whatever He gives you to do, there will be the accompanying empowerment to enable you to do it. As a matter of fact, without the empowerment that He gives you, you are unable to do it. As a matter of fact, if you do it without the empowerment, it's not Him doing it, it's you doing it, and the result will not be the same. But God uses ordinary people in extraordinary ways. It says this angel was sent to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, and it won't be long till religious leaders are saying, can anything good come out of Nazareth? That gives you the idea of what kind of reputation Nazareth had. You know, there's places like that now. The little town I grew up in, Briet, Alabama, and I like being from Briet because I can tell you you've got a brilliant pastor. You know, I like the way that sounds. But our little town wasn't always known for all the right things. I mean, at football games, we had some of those rascals that would put sugar and salt in people's gas tanks or gravel or, you know, key their cars, or people would arrive with four good tires, and after the game, they may have two flat tires. You know, just stuff like that happened all the time because of some of those rascals that lived where I lived. But we all come from somewhere. But God specializes in using nobodies from Nowheresville to do great things for Him. You see it all through the Bible in the Old Testament. You've got a a dreaming young man named Joseph. Well, God's going to use him to shift an empire. You've got a fearful, timid man that goes out at night so he won't get in trouble with the enemy. And his name was Gideon, and has an encounter with God. And God routs the Midianites through his leadership. You've got a young guy on the back 40 watching sheep. He's the baby of the family. When the man of God comes to anoint somebody to be a future king, they didn't even think about David till they were called on the carpet. Is this all? Is there no one else? Well, we got David out there. But that's who God chose. He specializes in choosing ordinary people and doing extraordinary things through them. Oh, he can work through people who live in the ivory palaces enthroned in those places just the same. But all through the Bible sprinkled are testimonies of the overlooked, the left out, the forgotten, the down and out, that God reached down, touched them, just ordinary, run-of-the-mill folk, and used them to do something to change lives. And that's true for you, dear brother and dear sister Knight. God uses ordinary people in extraordinary ways. She was from Nazareth in Galilee. That wasn't the same as being from Jerusalem. And when God chooses his child to be born, he chooses a little town called Bethlehem out on the outskirts of everywhere else. This is the way God often will do things. And notice, she's a virgin betrothed to a man, a young girl. Women in Bible days, they weren't given the respect that the Lord wanted them to have. You can do some historical research on that. A man could just do away with his wife if she burned the toast. You know, a lot of times you had your cattle and all that other stuff, and then your woman or your wife. It wasn't as God wanted it to be. But yet, it would be a young woman, a virgin who had never known a man, in an outpost town that God sent his angel to bring about the birth of his own son. Be encouraged by that tonight. God knows who you are. God knows where you live. And you may not have a ritzy zip code, so to speak, but that won't keep God from doing something amazing in and through your life. And I praise him for that, don't you? Now, another thing I want to share with you is what God is saying is often connected to what God has said. What God is saying is often connected to what God has said. In this scripture, we're told here that her name was Mary of the house of David. Note that. Mary's lineage was of the house of David. As we read on, you get down to verse 32, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He goes on to say, and he will reign over the house of Jacob. How long? Forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. When you get to verse 36, now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. The reason I'm pulling those scriptures in to share with you is I want you to see that what God is saying here in this passage was connected to what God had said. He had made a covenant with Abraham. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He had made a promise to David that there would be an heir of yours that would sit on your throne forever. He had made a covenant with Jacob concerning these same things. So, when the angel is delivering this message of what God is about to do in Mary's life, Mary just sees that dot, that moment, her encounter, what God's saying to her. What she's not fully getting at this point is God, he not only sees that dot, he is connecting the dots. He made a promise to Abraham. He made a promise to Isaac. He made a promise to Jacob. He made a promise to David. And it was reiterated through many of the prophets in the Old Testament books of Scripture. God had been saying, one day I'm going to do this. He prophesied through the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, to King Ahaz through the prophet Isaiah, that there would be a virgin that would bring forth a son. All these different prophecies. And I included the one about Elizabeth being pregnant. Why is that important? Because John the Baptist, who Elizabeth carried in her womb, he had been prophesied that he would be a forerunner, that Elijah would come and forerun, the one with the spirit of Elijah. All of these things the angel is saying, he's connecting the dots. He's connecting what God is doing in Mary's life with what he had done in Abraham's life, Isaac's life, Jacob's life, David's life, and through the prophets and so forth. It was a culmination of prophetic words that were now being brought to fulfillment in the life of this young girl. And often when God starts speaking to us about something, we're pretty much all the same. You know, you get curious and you sometimes you think, well, you know what that means and what it's going to look like and how God's going to do it. And then 13 and a half years later, you realize, oh, this is what he was doing. You know, it's like God does something in your life and you think you understand it and comprehend it, but as you move on past it and you look back, you see all the different things that God did to bring about what he was doing in your life. As I shared the other morning, a lot of time out of this very same passage in my devotional, and by the way, I encourage you to join us on Facebook or TikTok. It's on there every morning, and I'm doing 25 days leading up to Christmas. But I shared the fact that how that promises made and prayers prayed that you had nothing to do with greatly impact your life. And this is what we see here. Mary didn't have anything to do with Abraham's relationship with God, Isaac, Jacob, David. All the prayers that had been prayed through the generations about the Messiah was to come, the yearning, the looking forward to his coming. She didn't understand all of that. She was becoming the beneficiary of promises made to others and prayers prayed by others that were now being birthed in her life. And I encourage you to live in such a way that God speaks words over you and you pray prayers that after you're gone, your children and your children's children will be the beneficiary of your life lived in faith. Because Mary now, she's of the house of David. David was the man after God's own heart. It's amazing how God was moved by this man named David. And listen, David didn't have an unblemished report card. He was a man of war, a man of blood. He committed adultery. He had a child out of wedlock. He had one of his best soldiers murdered. And thank God for his grace and his mercy. But his relationship with God was such that the Lord assured him there would always be someone of his lineage on that throne. And Jesus Christ was the ultimate answer to that promise that God made him. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. So keep up with those words that God shares with you. Like tonight, people had scriptures on their heart. Sometimes God will just breathe on a scripture for you, and you don't know exactly what it's doing inside of you. But that's God telling you, this scripture's got something in it for you, and you need to press in that and pray it and meditate on it and ruminate on it and let God's purposes in that word be birthed in your life. That's the reason it's important to be in the word. Amen. Let's move on to the third thing I want to share with you. What God says about you is much more important than what people say about you. Notice verse 28, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." I imagine there had been quite a number of weeks gone by and Mary hadn't heard that from anyone. I would even speculate that her whole life she had never heard such a thing spoken over her. She'd probably heard a lot of, get in here, girl. She'd probably heard a lot of things from the guys putting her in her place and all of that. But here's someone sent from God himself. The Lord is with you. You're highly favored. Rejoice. That's really powerful if you think about it. Angel walks in the room. I'm here. Rejoice. Rejoice. And here's the message. You're highly favored. You're highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. You see, I don't think Mary, well, I know she didn't know that about herself. Therefore, she didn't believe that about herself. But when God spoke that over her through his messenger, it changed her life. And we have to learn, when we walk through life, you're going to have people speaking stuff on you. I call them cuckabers. You know, it's just painful. They're sticky and they're prickly and you try to move it around, it just hurts you more. And people say things that hurt your feelings. And just load your ears with bad press about yourself. But you know, it's what God says about you that really matters. And I encourage you, if you've never spent some time just getting in the New Testament and studying those scriptures about who you are in Christ, life changing. Because God's Word has the power to sanitize you. In other words, to remove from you all the lies, all the garbage that has been unloaded and dumped on you verbally by other people through your life experiences. Sometimes you frame wrong ideas about yourself. You believe lies about yourself. Rejoice! Listen to what God's now saying about you. The blood of Jesus makes you worthy. Greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. You've been made to walk in the high places with God. You are an overcomer through his blood, as we heard earlier. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. As Jesus told his disciples, I'm giving you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not below. You are blessed when you walked in here tonight. You'll be blessed when you walk out of here tonight. Your storehouses will be blessed. Your help will be blessed. You read the Word and believe what God says about you. Now, you got to believe that part, too, about when he says flee youthful lust and don't fornicate and don't commit adultery and don't lie and don't kill. You need to believe that, too. But get loaded up on what God's Word says about who you are, how He views you. Because what God says about you is much more important than what people say about you. Think about what Mary was going to have to deal with. She's here now, highly favored one. Blessed are you among women. And yet, she is being introduced to what would be a huge scandal in her life. It was scandalous. We're not talking about Joseph tonight. I'm going to drop by Joseph's house in my devotionals in a few days. But Joseph, she's going to have to share with him, I'm pregnant. And you're not going to believe this. But it's God. It's God's baby. Sure it is. Can you imagine the whispering? The scandal? Yet this is the very way God chose for it to be done. It's like he's not concerned about what other people are going to say. As a matter of fact, it's like he wants to provoke them. I'm going to do something that you're going to have some faith to believe that I could do such a thing. And the angel verifies that line of thinking when he says, for with God all things are possible. What God says about you is much more important than what other people say about you. Next thing. Having human emotions is also part of our life with God. I didn't want to leave this out of this narrative because when this angel, you're minding your own business, you're there at the house, you're doing your thing, and poof, a holy messenger of God appears in the room. Yeah, knees knocking. And then you're hearing, like, you're highly favored. You know, God's got your number, girl. He's about to do something in you. You're about to have his baby. And he has to tell her, don't be afraid. That tells me that she was fearful. She was, stunned by this announcement. Like, what do you mean I'm highly favored? What do you mean God's has chosen me? What do you mean by this? She's afraid and she's confused because in a moment, as you read on, she says, okay, you're saying I'm going to have a child, but I see an issue here. I haven't had a relationship with a man. I mean, she was old enough to know about the birds and the bees. You know, it takes a daddy and a mama to have a baby. And I have not known a man. And then God mercifully explains to her in simple terms that no theologian has yet accurately exegeted what God did inside her womb or what he was about to do and then accomplished it. It's all right to have human emotions. You live your life in a material body, and your body is made to respond to danger, to uncertainty. You know, it's God gave a rabbit enough sense to get in a hole when a storm comes. You know, and we're made to respond to our environment. And so Mary, she's dealing with fear, she's dealing with some confusion, and she's dealing with just being stunned by this word that's been spoken over. Perplexed, trying to understand and comprehend it. Sometimes when God's moving and speaking to you, it can be almost unbelievable, inexplicable. I've had things happen to me that I would not have thought would have happened to me, that when the Holy Spirit's moved, sometimes powerfully, and I would find myself being a lot more emotive than I am normally, or things happened to me that I thought, well, that'll never happen to me. Be careful telling God that'll never happen to you. But having human emotions is part of a life of God, and sometimes being overly religious brings a rigidity to our worship and in our relationship with God. It's like, you know, God, it's not like God says, okay, sit like little birds on the wire and nobody ruffle anybody's feathers. You just sit there and I'll let you chirp a little bit. In the scripture, you see Jesus rejoicing when the 70 come back. Matter of fact, the Greek word literally means he was leaping up and down with joy over the fact that they were understanding their authority and that the demons were subject to them. He was excited and he was expressing that emotion. If you read the book of Psalms, the book of worship in the Old Testament, also the book referenced in the book of Ephesians about how we're filled with the Spirit, speaking to ourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, those psalms are filled with emotion. And sometimes the psalms themselves include emotional expressions that God wants us to release to him. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. Certain Hebrew words for praise and worship. One of them means to spin like a top. I can't do it over twice or I'll fall out. But these are actually the Holy Spirit speaking through Scripture saying, Father wants you to worship him in these ways. So we don't want to like try to build a can and have to live in that can. It's all right to be emotional. Now, if you're always overly emotional when everybody else always is not, then, you know, I personally think when the Holy Spirit's moving, you're going to see a variety, and there's going to be a harmony, there's going to be a symphony, and there'll be a, sometimes like you'll see a beautiful order in what may look like chaos at times. You got people jumping, shouting, spinning, dancing, worshiping, and then the Holy Spirit moves and everything gets quiet. People may be on their face weeping, crying before the Lord. And we want that kind of atmosphere where we can follow the Holy Spirit and express our hearts. Mary, she's fearful, she's perplexed, she's confused. And we don't see where that's an affront to the Lord in any way. The angels, as a matter of fact, the angel tries to encourage her. Don't be afraid, Mary. It's going to be all right, basically. You know, you don't have to be afraid. This is a good thing. Number five, God often does something in us and through us for those around us. If you see the scripture here in verse 31 and following, where the angel tells her, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Now, there's other scriptures that tell us that he will be called Jesus, and he will do what? He will save his people from their sin. Because Jesus means Jehovah saves. So God is doing something in Mary, favoring her. Mary would be the carrier of the child of God. And what would be the result? The whole world would be blessed. That's what God promised Abraham. Through your seed, the nations are going to be blessed. It's what he told Isaac, what he told Jacob. And so here's those words culminating. And he's working in Mary. And aren't you glad he did? Because of what he did through Mary, you and I now know our Savior. Because she was willing to be obedient and do what God called her to do. And that statement of surrender, behold your handmaiden, be it done to me according to your word. That's abandonment to the will of God. And you know what? Even though the angel told her how it was going to happen, she didn't fully understand that. But she said, I'm in. Count me in. I'm your handmaiden. Do with me what you will. And she became the mother of our Lord. And we honor her. Thank God for Mary. We don't venerate her or worship her. But neither do we want to overreact the other direction and not honor her, because the Word of God says she is highly favored among women. Thank God for Mary. We bless Mary. We thank God for Mary. We honor her. God did something through her that's... we have now become the beneficiaries of her obedience and of what God did in and through her life by bringing Jesus to us. And it's God did something in her that has eternal impact, because his kingdom will be here forever. It will know no end. So sometimes God will require you to do things that are very costly for you personally. You may have to give up something you really treasure and you really love. You may not be able to do something you've always enjoyed doing, because the Lord says, no, now I'm redirecting. Sometimes he may relocate. Sometimes you thought, well, this is what I'm going to do with my life, but then the Lord, this is what I have for you. And maybe you've sacrificed a lot. You've given up a lot that you treasured in order to be in the will of God, in order for God to birth in you and through you what he wants to do. And you need to be encouraged tonight to know that what he's doing through you is probably going to result in blessing a lot of other people. It's not just about you. Certainly God does things just for you. But many of the things God does for you, in you, and through you, He's also seeing how it's going to touch the lives of other people. That's why we've been left here, after all. And He calls us to different things. Some of you may be teachers. Some of you may work in the health field. And God uses you in powerful ways in that, in helping people. Some of you may work for city government. Some of you may be in the military. Some of you may be homemakers. And what a treasured place that is to serve and prepare the next generation and so forth. But just know, wherever God has placed you and planted you, called you, yes, there'll be some suffering involved. There will be sacrifice involved. But what you don't see yet is the harvest on the other side of your obedience, particularly the long-term harvest. So God often does something in us and through us for those around us. And Mary, I know some of this is speculation, but I don't think Mary, her radar was not at this moment fully understanding the scope and the expanse of what God was doing in her and what that was going to mean for the entire world. In Nazareth? A teenage girl? Whispers of scandal? Well, that's what the angel was. He was faithful in delivering his message, and she was faithful in receiving it. Brings me to the last thing. The impossible becomes possible through the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and your faith in God. We see all of this in this Scripture. God's Word to David, to Abraham, and now to Mary, to Zechariah and Elizabeth who were pregnant with John, the Christ child, the Savior, Lord. And the angel tells her, said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, make no mistake about this. Jesus has eternally existed always. But there was a punctiliar moment in human history when He became Jesus of Nazareth, when He became a man. He's always been God. But He became a man, and if I understand my theology correctly, He will in His present form always eternally exist now. In His glorified body, the firstborn among many brethren, occupying the throne of His father David in a kingdom that will have no end. That wasn't just metaphoric. He will rule and reign and have a throne in this earth. Now this earth is the one that's going to go through a lot of change. He won't. Notice this. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and faith. You see this principle here that I call the stirring spirit and the spoken word in Genesis, when the Spirit of God is hovering over the face of the deep. God begins to speak, let there be light. And when the Word of God was declared into the moving and stirring of the Holy Spirit, the result was dynamic, powerful, creative results. Now, in a similar way, it has been announced through the Word of the Lord. By the way, Jesus is the living Word, the Word incarnate. The Lord's Word came, and the Holy Spirit then hovered over the womb of Mary, and the seed of God and God's Word was placed in her womb. And the result, the Holy One was born. And in a very striking and similar way, when the Word of God is preached, the Gospel, and a person hears the word, then the Holy Spirit begins to stir around that person and upon that person, convicting, illuminating. His presence is undeniable. And when that's happening, if that person opens their heart in faith and receives that word through the regeneration of the Spirit and the word and that faith coming together, that person experiences their birth into the family of God. So you see that established pattern of the word of God, the Spirit of God, and faith operating. Be it unto me according to your word. Yes, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart God raised him from the dead. Jesus saved me. Boom. New creation. Birthed into the family of God. So in a similar way, in the realm of the Spirit, this similar activity for every child of God that's birthed into the kingdom. The impossible becomes possible through the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and your faith in God. Have faith in God. Now, what is it that God is trying to birth in your life? Are you struggling with it? Maybe a little confused? As Andrew, if you guys will come now. If you were in a place where you're like, I don't know if I can do this. I feel like God's calling me to this. Be it done unto me, Lord, according to your word. Don't let what other people have spoken over you keep you from hearing what God's saying to you. And realize if God's dealing with you, it's going to be end up being a lot more than just about you. It's about other people are going to be blessed by what God does through you. So get in on what God's inviting you to get in on. And I thank God for Mary's faith. I thank God for His Word tonight. I want you to stand with me. And Father, across this room right now, I pray that we'd be encouraged to receive Your Word. Cooperate with what Your Holy Spirit is doing. Be it done unto me. May that be in our heart. According to your word. I'm going to ask some of our prayer team members to come now and just be here. If you need prayer tonight, I encourage you to come up. What a wonderful time. Have somebody to agree with you in prayer. Maybe God's dealing with you about your destiny, about a call in your life, about a step of faith. Maybe you're in the battle for your health. Some circumstance and you're just needing some prayer power, come and these will love on you and agree with you. As we worship, would you come? Anyone who needs prayer.
Love you. I lift my voice.
Anyone, if you need prayer, just come forward.
Worship you, oh my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound.
Bishop Jeffrey and Miss Ann, during our worship tonight, I felt the Lord moving on my heart for you guys. And I want to share a word with you. You could pray into this and see if you bear witness with it. But I felt like the Lord was showing me, it was almost like a dam. And I heard the Lord saying that the dam is about to break and recompense is coming. That was the phrase that I heard. The dam is about to break and recompense is coming. So I just decree and declare unto you, you are about to step into a season where there's going to be recompense that things that have been lost are going to be restored. There's going to be people humbling themselves and repenting and coming to you and wanting to reestablish fellowship. I see the Lord raising up, like there's four different men the Lord's going to show you, and they're going to be like pillars in the house of the Lord that's going to bring stability and safety around you in a way that's needed, just almost like Aaron and hers. And I know you probably have a number of guys like that, but I just see maybe the term would be like up-and-comers, that new people that the Lord is showing you, that it's time for them to take their station, and they're going to really be a blessing to you, to even bridge to the generation that's coming. And so I just speak that over you tonight and pray that God blesses both of you tremendously, that the windows of heaven just be opened over you. And we say yes, Lord, to recompense. Yes, to restoration. Yes, to those blessings in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Are there others, if you need prayer, feel free to come. Thank you so much for being with us on this Wednesday. I pray that this holiday season would be especially meaningful to you, and that you would keep Jesus as the reason for the season. The best is yet to come. Amen. Always true for the saints of God. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. You press in. The best is yet to come. Let's give the Lord a hand. Thank you for being here tonight. Love you all. God bless you. This altar remains open for any who may need prayer.